This month, Drama Desk nominee Lori Wilner revisits her one-woman show, Hannah Senesh, which she co-created with writer-director David Schechner in 1984. It is an intimate account of a young Hungarian Jewish girl growing up in 1930s Budapest. Not particularly religious, she is drawn to investigate her Judaism as she experiences increasing persecution and anti-Semitism. Originally performed off-Broadway at the Cherry Lane Theater, Lori received the Goldie Award, the Dramalog Award, and the Drama Desk nomination for her solo performance and went on to tour extensively in the United States, Canada, Israel. She'll be performing the show on Saturday, October 5th, that's this Saturday, at Unison Arts Center in New Paltz, New York, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Lori Wilner back to the program. How are you?
I am well, Joe. Thanks so much for having me.
Wonderful to see you. I am, so it really has never gone away for you, this show. It's always been in your back pocket?
Yes, it's, I created the show with David 35 years ago, and we developed it over time. The initial, our first sort of crack at it was about a 50-minute show with live musicians based on Hannah Senesh's diaries and poems. And then we developed it over time at the Writers' Theater, moved off Broadway, and then, yes, years of touring. And I used to say that I could never cut my hair because my hair is sort of a character in the play. Yeah, so I've been doing it, although I haven't done it in about 20 years. And I had the opportunity through Actors and Writers, which is a wonderful theater company up here, and Unison Arts Center to do a reading of the performance, which is the first time I will have re-inhabited it in a long time.
So it's 20 years. That is a long time
to
go back to something. So what has that process been like for you to go back to it?
It's been fascinating. I mean, of course, David and I did so much research when it first was in development. Hannah Senesh had a mother and a brother still alive in Israel. And I had a wonderful intimate correspondence with Catherine Senesh. And when the show, she was elderly at the time, so she could not come to the opening night when we were in New York off Broadway. But as soon as the show closed, we took the show to her. And the producers assembled a two-week tour through Israel, performing everywhere from the National Theater in Tel Aviv to the kibbutz where she lived and to the nursing home where Catherine Senesh was living at the time. And that was a great honor and privilege to perform it for the Senesh family.
That would seem that informs a performance more than just about anything else could.
Yes. Yes, and like your previous actor who was talking about how great it is to be in a theater where you get to have, you get to have direct address with
right.
the audience, and you get to look them in the eye and really have an experience with them. It was extraordinary to be playing a historical figure and sitting, 6 feet away from the woman herself.
So let's go to what brought you to the story initially of how much you knew about it and what said to you, wow, this is fascinating, one. Two, I could do something artistically with this.
Well, we were looking for an interesting woman in history to create a one-woman show about. And we had this wonderful session in Leshko's Diner in the East Village in New York where we just pitched. It was like dueling banjos of interesting women. We pitched ideas. How about Maria Callas? How about Vera Brittain? How about, back and forth. And I didn't really know much about Hannah Senesh, as I would say that's kind of the way it is. Not many people know about who she is. David knew who she was, and he told me about her, and then I went off and read about her. I'm not sure why she's not so well known in this country. In Israel, she's considered the national heroine. When I started to read her diaries and her letters and her poems, I was very struck, very taken with her. This sort of juxtaposition between a sensitive, beautiful soul who wants to be an artist and the reality of a crazy world which dictates standing up and doing something to stand up to oppression if there's a need. So there was this really interesting tension between her wanting to just be an artist and her feeling a greater call to get involved in the political world.
In the creation of the show, I I want to ask about the character, but I'm also just interested of what it is like being in doing a one-woman show of just it just being you. I mean, it is that character, but it's just you.
Yes, it is the greatest training ground for an actor, right. I can imagine. I mean, you know, to carry a show like that and to do it no matter what's going on. You know, there was one night, for instance, where I was performing and it sounded like there was someone vacuuming in the lobby. And it just was so hard to concentrate. And I only have two or three moments where I get to duck off stage and talk in headphones to a stage manager. And in that moment, I ran off stage and I said, someone's vacuuming. Please try and find it. It's very distracting. And it kept going and going and going. And then a second time I went out, can't find it. And then the third time I hear on the headphones, it's someone in a respirator.
Oh.
And it just so, you know, it just kind of, it just sunk in a level like, wow, if this person has made the commitment to come to the theater because it's that important, I mean, it sort of recommitted me in that moment. So there's always something going on. There, you know, thunder, there's being sick, having poison ivy, there's all kinds of things that as a person...
Cabs, you know, honking outside.
Yes. And then also, of course, when you're touring, it's awfully lonely. Yeah. When you're on the road and right. It's just you, you know. Hey, let's go out for a beer. Okay.
So when you finish that, and as you say, it's been 20 years. So then do you look to do, oh, I'd like to do another one-woman show, or do you want that companionship and do more ensemble things?
Since it's been so long, I wouldn't mind doing another one now. But for many years after David and I created Hannah Senish, I was looking for casts,
right.
Big, you know.
Let's be a group.
Let's be a big group. Let's have a big company. But there is something really wonderful artistically about being able to really be in as much control as you can be as an actor, because, of course, there's not much control you have. But just to be able to steer the ship so totally, it's a wonderful, wonderful experience.
There is you handed me a flyer for this show, which has a Hirschfeld. That is of you?
Yes, that is of me. I was informed that Hirschfeld, so this was, of course, in 1985.
Yeah.
Cherry Lane. At the Cherry Lane Theater. Yep. I was informed by his manager that he wanted to do a portrait of me. And the producer sent a photograph, and then he came to watch the show. And then I was given a little bit of notice the day it was coming out in the New York Times. And I didn't know this, but if a portrait is done of you, you get first right of refusal to buy it.
Yeah.
And so I went down to the gallery, and there it was. It was very, very exciting. And he took a little, he was very excited about me and thought I was going to go far. And I got a kick out of this. He and Margot Fiden, who owned the gallery
sure.
at the time, gave me a nice break on the portrait, so I was able to buy it.
Yeah. What is there? I was going to say that that's a great thing for anybody, but especially somebody in the theater. I mean, there's a Broadway theater named after this guy. He's a legend.
Yeah. It's one of those things that it's like a milestone.
Right.
To have that happen. Very, very exciting.
How many Ninas are in it?
Just one.
Just
one large
one.
In the
hair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Large one.
That is, so that's cool. Where is it in the, I don't want, you don't have to tell me, but.
Well, when I lived, when I had my co-op in this.
I realize there's a safety issue here. I'm just curious about like where you can be very vague.
Well, it was hanging on my wall in New York City for many years. And now it's on loan.
Yeah, well, that's cool because, and my understanding is a lot of people do that because there is great interest in various groups that want to see his work because it's so incredible and amazing.
Yeah.
What? So when you come back to this and you look at what a moving performance this is, does it still moves you? I assume
it still moves me greatly. But what's really fascinating to me right now is that, so Hannah kept diaries from a very young age all the way up to when she went on this very dangerous mission during World War II. And so at first we were able to create the play as a diary play. And we didn't have anything about the mission, and we had all this information that needed to be, disseminated. And so at first we thought, well, how are we going to get that information out? We'll have some narrator talk about it, and maybe it will be someone that she jumped with. And I said, no, what if it's her mother talking about her? And so then we were able to investigate that, and all of the information that couldn't be first person is told by the mother. And I thought it would be wonderful to have Hannah have absolutely no accent, as if she's just talking to her best friends. She's writing in her journal, no sort of boundary there. But the mother should be old world and have a thick Hungarian accent. And I had a friend who had a stepmother who was Hungarian, and she was my model, and I studied her accent. And I also learned a few phrases in Hungarian. And sometimes, this was so wonderful when this happened, very often in New York, if there were Hungarian people in the audience, I would be talking, and in a particularly emotional moment, I would lapse into Hungarian, and then I would say, "Hogy mondják?" How do you say, "Hogy mondják feltállotti mozgalom?" And then if there were Hungarian people in the audience, they would shout out the word to me, underground. And then, of course, I knew how to say thank you. So I would say, underground, köszönöm szépen. And then I would go on. It was a wonderful thing. And people really, it was very engaging. Oh, but what I was going to say
is,
okay, so I co-created the show. I was a young woman. I was much closer to the age of young Hannah. And I was sort of aging up to play the mother. And so now I get the opportunity to take another crack at it. And of course, it's reverse now. So I'm much closer to the age of the mother, and I'll stretch down to play the daughter. And just to have the privilege to go back to something with a new perspective, with increased wisdom and experience, to go back to something from a new perspective, it's just wonderful.
When you say that about perspective, is that of time on the stage, or is that just life? Just knowing more, being wiser?
I think so.
Having been batted around like a kitty with a mouse.
Yes, that. And young Hannah had such big things in her very short life. She experienced so much, and so when I was first doing it, I was 23 or something like that, and I was a good actress, and so I imagined what those things were like. But now I kind of know from a real gut level what that loss is, what that difficulty is, what life does to you.
I don't want to gloss over this, but you talked about the group that made this possible, of you coming to Unison Arts. So talk a little bit about that, of how it came about.
So there's a wonderful theater company upstate called Actors and Writers.
Yes.
And some are both actors and writers, some are just writers, some are just actors. And it's a group that does readings, does 4 or 5 events each year. We do original readings, we do published plays, we do screenplays. We used to have a home base in Olive Bridge, but now we're sort of floating. Sometimes we're at Unison, sometimes we're at Ask in Kingston, sometimes we're at Maverick, sometimes we're at Shadowland. And it's a nonprofit a group, and I thought it would be a wonderful thing for me when I first came up to this area from New York City to meet other arts-minded people, and it's been a wonderful group.
What do collaborations like that, do you think, achieve when you get artistic people together, especially people, as you said, have been around for a while, have that great experience?
Yeah, it's very rich. Melissa Leo is in the group. Mary Louise Wilson is in the group. Other wonderful people, not as well known. And some, like me, still have careers in New York City, but came up here to weekend or something, or to Monday, as it is, to Monday, half Tuesday. Some are now up here full time. And so it's a lovely way to really stay in touch. We don't do full productions there, so nobody has to memorize anything or go into rehearsal. It's just sort of, coming together briefly for a one-day thing. It's a great resource, and, people come and enjoy what we do.
What's next for you?
Two things. I'm doing a new play in Minneapolis later this month called Cannabis Seder.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go off to Arizona Theater Company to do Cabaret.
Oh, wow.
To do Fräulein Schneider.
Oh, very fun.
Yeah.
So, and then eventually make your way back home, I assume.
Yeah, eventually, later in the winter.
Well, the show is Hannah Senesch, and it's going to be performed this Saturday at 8 p.m., October 5th at Unison Arts. UnisonArts.org. It is in New Paltz, New York, of course. And you can find out more by going to UnisonArts.org. UnisonArts.org. Lori Wilner, what a great pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim.
Have a beautiful performance and have a great winter.
Thank you so much.
Winter season.
You too.
Thank you. Again, you can find out more by going to unisonarts.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.